Hello and welcome to the Midweek St Mirren Show. Coming up in tonight's show, we discuss Saturday's postponement and ask whether Scottish football should look at to change it. We speak to Div McDonald from the Black and White Army, who gave us his thoughts and talked about the transfer window. But first, we caught up with manager Alex Ray on Monday as his players trained at the Cabrini JD Air Dome outside the stadium.
So the game on Saturday against Raith Rovers was postponed. How much does that affect preparations for next week, this week's game against Hibs?
Well, it doesn't affect it at all. We just have a normal week preparation. We're back in today. We had the boys in the dome after the disappointment of the game being called off, and so they've done a wee bit of aerobic and anaerobic stuff in here, and then we gave them yesterday off and then back in today. Unfortunately, we had to come back in the dome due to the conditions outside, so hopefully we can get a pitch cleared for tomorrow and then get back to some more physical work.
So you mentioned there that Saturday's game being postponed was a disappointment. How frustrating is it after a week of preparation for that to happen?
I think both teams wanted the game on. I think everyone, the referee and everything, and up until 2 o'clock the pitch was perfectly playable, and then obviously the downpour of snow kind of scuppered that. But listen, it's just a part and parcel of the playing football in the winter in Scotland. And you know, you look at Alloa as an example, played 65 minutes or so. So you know, we could have started it, but I don't think the conditions were conducive to playing football. So it gives both teams an opportunity to prepare properly, and it's not so much a lottery. So listen, that week's gone as far as I'm concerned. It's about preparing now. I seen Hibs yesterday against Falkirk, so it's going to be a tough game throughout Easter Road.
What's your thoughts on winter football? Should we shut it down, do you think, at this time of year?
I'm an old traditionalist. I love playing football now, but there comes a point where you're asking supporters to sit in stands that are absolutely freezing. So there may well be a case for summer football. Probably the surfaces would be slightly better as well. More lusher as well. So it may well be something that we have to look forward to doing in the future.
So your new signing, Rocco Quinn, was in the squad. He was actually in the starting 11 for Saturday's game against Raith Rovers. What do you think he'll bring to the team?
Well, as I said on St Mirren Radio at the weekend, he'll bring experience. He's played at the highest level for the last few years, 4 or 5 years up at Ross County. You know, he knows the division from Queen of the South days and things. So he brings a lot to the table. You see him training today. He's got a bit of devilment about him as well. So he'll bring a physicality to the team.
You don't have many players in his age range. He's 29 years old. And do you think it's important to get more players like that in?
Well, it was really just about the quality that he brings to the table. The age will take care of itself. You know, he's, as I said earlier, he's been playing up at Ross County for the last few years in the SPFL. So he knows that level well, and suited both parties to come down here. He brings experience, plus ability to the table. So it was a no-brainer for us.
How difficult is it to make deals in January? Is it a tough time compared to the summer in terms of bringing players in?
Well, you have a lot longer time to prepare in terms of people who are out of contract. Most people do like summer to summer, so there's not a great deal available in the window, and it's usually a case of someone's not playing or something and I want to kind of get back out and play. And that was Rocco's case. He kind of decided to come down here, which was great from your point of view. So, but we just need to kind of be cautious about who we bring in. I think it needs to complement what we've got. I wouldn't bring players in if they're not better than what we've got.
Are you still actively looking for players during this window?
Absolutely. No, I'm going to meet an agent at 1 o'clock, so I'm running late, so adios.
This is St Mirren Radio, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.
Interesting to hear the manager say he was going to meet an agent there. We'll get on to that later on the show, but first, as you already know, Saturday's match against Raith Rovers was postponed due to weather conditions not long before the game was scheduled to kick off. As inevitably happens around this time of the year, the same questions come up about whether we should play summer football or have a winter break. We ran a poll on Twitter at St Mirren Radio asking whether you'd prefer summer football, stick with the calendar as it is, or have a winter break. But before we look at the results, some of you got in contact on Twitter with your thoughts. Stacey Adams said, as we never know where summer or even winter will arrive, they have no option, but to leave it as it is. David Healy asked, when would you have a winter break? The weather is rotten in December, January and February. Summer football would affect the World Cups and Euros. Some good points made there, and as you said earlier on, we did asks you for a vote on Twitter about whether Scottish football should look into a different schedule. James, you have the results of that?
Yeah, it was a pretty close contest, to be honest, though we had quite a lot of people who did vote in it. Most did want to see change. 43% were for summer football, 35% for a winter break, and only 22% wanted the calendar to stay as it is.
What would you like to see?
Personally, I think I would like to see us not playing football in January. I just think statistically, I believe it's the worst month in terms of weather. And I also think people are still feeling the pinch from Christmas. And I believe Stuart Gilmore might have said that as well on Saturday after the game to the media about winter and January being a tough time. So I would probably be more in favour of a winter break than anything else. I mean, I look at summer football and I think, you know, there are still positives with that as well. But my preference would probably be a winter break.
You said that you mentioned there about January, and Stuart Gilmore mentioned that on Saturday's game. But also, if you take out the whole winter, if you take a winter break, you do kind of miss the festive fixture period a bit, don't you? Between, I know it starts kind of near enough Christmas to mid-January, but you do kind of miss that. And festive football is really important in Scotland and in Britain.
Yeah, I mean, Alex Ray said in his interview as well that he's a bit of a traditionalist and like the playing in the winter. I mean, don't get me wrong, I think playing at Christmas time, I think there's nothing better than football at the festive period when games are all so close together and there's such a vast amount of games, and it's just a great time of the year for everybody. You're close with your family and whatnot, and going to football and watching football, there's just so much of it. It's great. I would be in favour of keeping that and then moving on kind of start of January and maybe having 3 weeks off then.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here a bit, but if you mentioned that, but if you look at, like, so we've got a couple of tournaments. We've got the Scottish Cup, obviously, kicks off in January now. It did start late, earlier on in the season in early December. But do you think tournaments like that would affect it, and then that would cause something like league reconstruction, or in order to kind of make the winter break sustainable and still have your Scottish Cup and your league?
I think, you know, that there's ways to keep the winter break, to have a winter break and not have it affect too much. I mean, I think there's, you look at the fixture list and there is definitely a possibility to play more midweek games. I don't know whether clubs have an appetite for that or fans have an appetite for that. And I think at the end of the day, you've got to appeal to the fans more than anyone. I think the fans are the most important people in football. Sometimes that gets forgotten, but I don't think it should affect it too much. We've seen in recent years the Scottish Cup being started the fourth round in December. Well, I didn't really like that, to be honest. I preferred it in January, but I mean, it is an option to have it another time and still allow that winter break. You mentioned league reconstruction as well. You know, if there's been a lot of talk about changing the size of the top league, if you were to change that to 16 teams, teams are then going to have less games throughout the season. If you played, it would be 15 and 15 games home and away, so that's 30 games a season, which is 8 less than you would in the top league. So you've always got the kind of a chance to spread it out a little bit more. So I mean, it all depends. I don't know if there would be league reconstruction, to be honest, but I mean, that again opens up that possibility.
You mentioned there, we've talked, sorry, a lot about the winter break, but I want to talk now a bit about summer football. Summer football would probably start between maybe mid-February to November. Given Scotland's reputation now in football, and it's not maybe not the best at the minute, if they were to have summer football, do you think that would give them a platform to put their product out there, given that during the summer, your TV companies such as Sky Sports, BT Sport, don't have a lot of football on?
I think there's an opportunity there in terms of trying to make a bit more revenue, and that you could then market your product to the companies like Sky and BT and say to them, look, the English Premier League's finished, there's no La Liga, there's no Bundesliga, we're the only kind of option that's still about, so why not give us a bit more money, we'll put these games on here. But I think summer football is a tricky one because, like I say, I like the whole festive period, and you would lose that, and I think it's a long time to be without football at that time of year. I mean, you would still be able to, you know, have the alternatives of the English Premier League, but I think it's still good to have it close to home. And you worry about moving the calendar for a number of reasons, like what if Scotland were to get to the Euros one year, you know, how does it affect that? What about, you know, if you've got the likes of Celtic were there, say they made the last 16 of the Champions League like they did a few years ago, how does that affect them if they're having all that time off, you know? If they were even in the group stages, how would it affect them if the season was finishing in November? So it's a tough one. I probably wouldn't be in favour of summer football, but I can see the positives for it as well.
Just my final question. Can you see it actually happening? Can you see a change happening in the game?
I know that there was obviously the 42 clubs met yesterday, and Brian Caldwell was there as St Mirren's representative. I mean, I don't know if there's really... I don't know if there'll be change. I think it's hard to get all 42 clubs on board to agree to one strict kind of set of rules or whatever. I know Jan Dempster said yesterday, the Hibs chief executive, that there wasn't really much talk of reconstruction. So I really don't know. I'd imagine it would be tough to try and figure out a suitable structure that suits everyone.
Thanks, James. We also asked Ed McDonald from a Black and White Army for his thoughts and gave us an insight into why the game ended up being postponed on Saturday.
I spoke to Brian Cobble in the morning on Saturday morning to ask if the game was in any doubt so that I could tweet some information out. And he explained there was an inspection at 10:45, which obviously passed. The Thundersville Heating had been on the previous two nights on Thursday and Friday night. So although it was -4, -3, whatever, overnight, the pitch was past playable at 10:45, but then the snow started to fall. So I text Brian again kind of later in the morning and said, how are things? And he said, we're just kind of clearing the snow. So I offered to go down and help because I'm really close to the stadium. So I did go down, and there was maybe 40, 50 people on the pitch helping to brush the snow off. And when I left, which was about 20 to 2, I left, the pitch was pretty green everywhere apart from the covers that were down at the family stand end, which they were just about to get lifted, I think, when I left. So the pitch was looking really good. But then, and the snow had stopped, and the pitch was soft underfoot, passed another inspection from the referee. Everybody was quite happy. So I came home, got changed, and then went back down again. And by the time I got there, which was only kind of 40 minutes later, the heavens had opened, and the snow was really heavy. And the pitch was just, when I walked into the stadium at 10:30, it was just a complete whiteout. I mean, it was just, there was still people trying to brush snow, but it was impossible because the snow was too heavy. And I think it was definitely the right decision to call it off at that point. It would have been an absolute farce of a game. But I have, you know, a lot of sympathy. I mean, you know, I know yourself, James, were down as well. There was a lot of people down there, spent a lot longer than I did brushing snow off the park. So it was a real blow to them and everybody else at the club that the game didn't happen.
Inevitably, this always happens at this time of year when the weather's bad. We get asked about changes to Scottish football. What's your view on it? Do you think we should keep the calendar the way it is? Do you think maybe we should look at having a winter break at this time of year or summer football?
I think summer football is an interesting one because it opens up a lot of possibilities in terms of maybe filling some broadcast schedule, gaps, you know. The big companies don't have much football to show during the summer, so you would like to think if Scotland went that way, that like Sky and BT Sport might be persuaded to pay a little bit more. Obviously, it would be better for the clubs. They wouldn't have to use their Thundersville Heating so much. They wouldn't have to use their floodlights so much. Just generally a better environment to take your kids to, more enjoyable, it's probably safer. You know, there's lots and lots of reasons why summer football is dead attractive. But then again, you're coming up every other summer. You're coming up against the European Championships, the World Cup, and all the other summer sports, you know, golf and the tennis and everything. And I don't know what impact that would have on the football, if any. I think the winter break was quite good. I quite enjoyed, you know, having a few weeks off just to recharge the batteries when the weather does is bad. But kind of the weather in this country is mental at the moment. I mean, you just don't know what's going to happen. We get a lot of rain, obviously, in the summer now. You can't be guaranteed the summer's going to be great. But I think it's definitely something to look at. I mean, it's taking your kids to football when it's -5 and snowing and raining. It's not much fun, and they don't want to go. There's no doubt about that. The adults, you just kind of go on with it. But for kids, that is quite off-putting, I think.
Remember, you can keep in touch with us by tweeting at St Mirren Radio on Twitter and give us your thoughts on what you'd like to see a change to the calendar or to stay with things as they are. Meanwhile, Div also spoke to us about the transfer window and how St Mirren may fare on Saturday against Hibs at Easter Road.
Yeah, I think Hibs are a really good side. I've watched them play Falkirk on Sunday. I think the top three in our league are significantly better than the other seven teams in the league. We saw that when Hibs dismantled us in Paisley under Ian Murray. So, but having said that, with our record at Easter Road isn't bad. We went there earlier in the season, got a really good point. I think Anthony Stokes is a great signing for them, really good signing. Cummings is also on fire, so it'll cause us a lot of problems. I think it will be a very tough game, but hopefully the new manager will get us set up well and make us at least hard to beat.
Like you mentioned there, we drew last time at September at Easter Road. Does that affect things going into Saturday's game, do you think? Or do you think maybe since it was a different manager that that's kind of out the window and it's a different game?
Ach, yeah, I think every game's kind of slightly different. I wouldn't read too much into it. If you're going to be reading a lot into how the teams perform, then you'd probably look at the last time they met when they beat us 4-1 on their own patch. So, and Hibs are a really good side. They are really good. They're probably not quite as good at the back as they are going forward. So, I mean, I think there's scope for us to get in about them and maybe get a goal. But it'd be a big ask for us to go there and keep a clean sheet. But then again, our away record is significantly better than our home record. So you never know, I suppose.
So the transfer window's open now, and we saw the addition of Rocco Quinn last week after his release from Ross County. What did you make of that signing?
I think it's a good signing on paper. I mean, it's every signing is difficult to say until you see the player play. But when I've seen Rocco Quinn play for Ross County, he never stood out as being exceptional, but he was always very tidy. He scored a couple of good goals against us in the 5-4 game last season. He scored a good goal for St Johnson against us, I think, in the dim and distant past at Off Street as well. So, but you look at his age, you know, his age 29. That is the sort of player that Alex Ray said we needed, you know, kind of mid to late 20s rather than the kind of imbalance we had or we have, which is very experienced players and very young players, but maybe not so much in between. And I think the Ross County fans, you always look at the way the other fans react when they lose a player, and the Ross County fans really spoke very highly of him, and that bodes well. He's had a few injury problems, particularly last season. I think he had a problem with his hip, but he's the right age, the right type. He's certainly in the right area. The middle of the park for me is the priority at the moment, so hopefully he can bolster that, and hopefully we'll get Jim back in the next couple of weeks, then that'll really help as well, and maybe allow Malin to start producing again, because he's kind of going a little bit off the boil, I think, because of the players around him.
You've mentioned there about the middle of the park. Do you feel like there's anywhere else in the squad that during this window needs to be looked at as strengthened?
No, I mean, I think every club could always do a better strike force, but I've always said that I think Lauren Shankland will score goals if he gets the service, and I think we've seen him score in his last three league games, nearly scored against Partick as well, so I think he will score goals. He probably does need a partner, need somebody to play off him, but you know, everybody's looking for a proven goal scorer, and you don't get them just kind of hanging about. You've got to take a punt on somebody, get somebody in on loan or whatever. I think January is a hard window to trade in as well, because you're really looking at players who are either coming to the end of their contract in the summer who can be released early, like Rocco Quinn, players who are already free agents or loan market, because you know we're obviously not in a position to spend money on players. So it's a difficult ask. I think the defence, you know, I'd like to see another centre-half come in, but if Jason comes back, then that will allow Keith Watson to maybe move in and play centre-half, but we're still a wee while away from that happening. And Jack Baer's played really well under Alex Ray, to be fair to him as well. So we're always looking for players, but I think the middle of the park for me, you know, an attacking midfielder, maybe a left-sided midfielder, they're the sort of players I think we need. And maybe another goalkeeper, because at the end of the day, we've really only got Jamie now and then Dan and Rhys, the young ones.
So the new manager, Alex Ray, has been in charge now for a little over a month. Two wins and two losses so far. How have things changed, do you think, since he's been in charge?
It's difficult to say because, I mean, obviously it's been a bit stop-start with postponements and things like that and the cup getting in the way. I think we look a lot, we definitely look more organised. We look a little bit more energetic. The players look a little bit more motivated. And speaking to people around the club, when I was down on Saturday, everybody spoke really highly of Alex Ray and said that they're really impressed with the way he's going about, you know, about his business on a day-to-day basis, including everybody in the club, you know, making the under-20s feel much more part of things maybe than the previous manager. And, you know, they're obviously doing really well. So, you know, it's hard to say, but there's generally been a slight improvement in the positivity on the forums and things like that. It is very slight. At the end of the day, we're still struggling. We're still down the wrong end of the table. We did, you know, the Livingston one was really painful, and that was a big shock to us all, I think, when that happened. But the Morton win lifted us all. Cup game, I thought we were a little bit outclassed, to be fair. Thistle just looked a lot better than us, maybe without having the cutting edge to make the scoreline reflect that. And we rallied a little bit late in that one. But the Cup was never that important for me this season, based on where we were in the league. It's all about the league and climbing up the table.
Div McDonald there from a Black and White Armour, who discussed about the transfer window, Alex Ray, and Saturday's upcoming match with Hibs. Looking at that, Hibs have arguably made the signing of the transfer window so far and bringing in Anthony Stokes on loan from Celtic, and who could make his debut against St Mirren on Saturday. So, James, it's a big game this weekend for Hibs, but St Mirren as well, because if St Mirren win, again, they've got breathing space from the bottom in the relegation playoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, Hibs will be looking to get back to winning ways, because they obviously drew with Falkirk and lost ground at the top of the league. But I think, you know, if St Mirren can go there and pull off what would probably be a shock, it breathes new life into their hopes of making the playoffs, because, you know, they're not that far off the promotion playoffs. We did mention last week that it's going to be really tough, and David Farrell had said that their aim was just to kind of finish in a respectable position. And but, you know, I mean, a win there could really be massive in terms of making a push for the playoffs.
I think for a lot of Saints fans, they should be optimistic about this, because only Falkirk have taken points off Hibs at Easter Road this season. That was a one-all draw between Hibs and Falkirk, and St Mirren also got that in the fixture where Callum Gallagher scored. So again, optimism for Saints.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. I mentioned it with Div McDonald. It's hard to look back in that one-all draw they had in September where Callum Gallagher scored and use that as inspiration. It was a different manager and it feels like it was so long ago. But at the same time, you can look at that and say that this is the same group of players, so they are still capable of going there and getting a result, you know. But I think, you know, you've got to say it's going to be really tough.
Do you think as well they can't do what they did here at St Mirren Park, where they took the lead and then inevitably they kind of caved in, and they looked quite sorry at that game? James Keaton's got a hat-trick and Jason Cummings scored, but I mean, that day St Mirren started really well, but the good play and a good tempo wore off, and they lost grip of the game.
Yeah, that's something that I think Alex Ray has wanted them to do, is to be more compact and be more defensively sound. I mean, you look at the Livingston game here on Boxing Day, they didn't really play very well and they were far too open, and I think he looked to address that, and it did so against Morton, and took the 3 points in that and put up a respectable showing against Partick Thistle. So I think if they can keep defensively strict and maybe hit Hibs on the counter, you know, there is, you know, a chance of picking up points.
You mentioned they're being defensively strict, but Hibs have signed Anthony Stokes, who is a real coup of a signing for Hibernian for the rest of the season. How important will it be for Hibernian to stop him, and how do they go around trying to stop Stokes?
Yeah, that's obviously going to be very tough. You know, Anthony Stokes, I'd be really surprised if there was any signing better in this transfer window in Scotland, because I think that's a massive, massive signing. It could be a game changer in this league. In terms of stopping him, you know, it's hard to know. I mean, Stokes hasn't played for Celtic since August, so what's his fitness going to be like? That's obviously going to be a big question. Will he start the game? You have to think he might if he's fit enough, but how fit is he? How hungry is he, you know, to prove Celtic wrong, to have sent him out on loan? You know, it could be massive, but I think an interesting one to look at as an example is to look at when Robbie Keane signed for Celtic on loan, and he made his debut against Kilmarnock, and Kilmarnock won. There was so much hype around that signing, and I think if St Mirren kind of quietly go about their business and just let all this hype be on the Stokes signing, then they maybe could take something.
Now, of course, St Mirren signed Rocco Quinn, who was meant to make his debut against Raith Rovers last Saturday, but we can now hear what he had to say upon joining the club last week.
Welcome to St Mirren, Rocco. How did the move come about?
It all happened pretty quick. It was, I think, Wednesday or Thursday. It just got a phone call from my agent saying St Mirren were interested, and then I'm here today signing.
What was your reasons for taking this move? You obviously were in the Ross County squad the other night for the game against Dunfermline. Was it maybe a chance to come and be closer to home, or was there anything else?
Yeah, that was a factor in it. I think, obviously, speaking to the manager here and his plans for the club and the way he wants to take the club forward, I think that was a big factor in it as well. So there was a lot of things, but just happy to be here and looking forward to getting started tomorrow.
Did the manager say anything specific to you that made you think this is maybe a club on the up?
He said a few things, yeah. There was a few things he said that made me quite interested and excited about coming here. So he seems to have a good plan in place. There's some really good players at the club. So, as I say, just happy to be here and looking forward to getting started.
What do you think you can bring to this squad?
Well, definitely experience. I'll definitely be given nothing less but 100% for this club and for these fans as well. So I'll be looking to bring a lot to the table, yeah.
And just finally, you've got the number 27 on your shirt. Yeah, is there any significance about that?
No significance. It's just a number, isn't it? It's just a number. So just happy to have a number. That's the most important thing.
So that was Rocco Quinn there. So James, what do you make of that signing?
I think it's a really good signing for St Mirren, actually. He's still been very involved in Ross County squads, and he was even in he actually came on as a sub for Ross County against Dunfermline in the Scottish Cup last week, so he was still quite involved there. He's at a good age, 29 years old, brings a bit of experience there, so I think it is it's a bit of a coup almost, not quite a coup, but still a very good signing, and he'll bring experience, and it's an area of the pitch that, you know, they needed to kind of strengthen.
Now, as Alex Ray mentioned with you, James, earlier on in the interview, he was off to meet an agent, so there's clearly still a lot of background work being done at St Mirren. So where do you think the Saints need to strengthen?
You know, I think they could maybe do with a goalkeeper to challenge Jamie Langfield. You know, they've got Dan Wilkes, who's been on the bench most of the season, a good young player, but I think they could maybe do with Mark Ridgers leaving last week with a bit of competition there. Maybe another centre-half. You know, I think Jack Baird's done really well next to Andy Webster this season, but maybe somebody with a wee bit more experience, and maybe somebody up front to play next to Shankland and give him a bit of a boost.
That's all we have time for this evening. We'll be back on Saturday from 2:50 with live full match commentary from Easter Road as St Mirren take on third place Hibs. Dale and Doherty will be joined in commentary by Stephen Bark, so if you cannot make the game, then tune in via the official St Mirren website or find us on the TuneIn Radio app. Until then, come on you Saints.
This is St Mirren Radio, brought to you by the University of the West of Scotland. Look at what you could learn at uws.ac.uk.